Psalms 143:3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Oh, yaladimboshale kamarasa. Hallelujah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. And folks, I want you to look into your word of the Lord with me, and I want you to repeat these words with me together. I flee unto thee to hide me. Man, man, that just runs contrary to our ego sometimes. Folks, you better get ready because you're going to hear something different here this morning. I mean something very, very different. But I believe I've gotten something from the Lord. Let's read that out loud again. I want you to say it out loud with me. I flee unto thee to hide me. Mm-mm-mm. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. He says, for I am thy servant. Praise God. Oh, thank God. And I'm preaching, speaking today upon this thought of when to fight and when to flee. There is a time to fight, and there is a time to run. Oh, feet, don't fail me now. Boy, y'all not ready for this one. But it's going to be out of the Word of God. Believe me, when the Lord spoke this to me, it cut me deep. I said, I don't like this, God. I'm a fighter. But the Lord got through to my thick skull and said, yeah, and you're just going to get stomped on if you're not careful, too. There comes a time to run. And I'll bring it out in the Word of the Lord. You just stay with me. Amen. Thank God. Brother Coates, would you come and pray over the remainder of this service?
Jesus, we thank you for your presence here this morning. God, we thank you for your goodness to us, your love and your mercy. God, we thank you for your word that is truth, that is everlasting, O God. God, I feel hearts that are hurting here this morning. I feel souls that have been struggling, not knowing whether to run or to fight. God, I pray just as your servant David felt in the wilderness. I'm sure there were times where he would much rather have fought than have run and hid in the caves. But Lord, by your wisdom and by your all understanding, you knew what was best for the situation. And God, I pray, speak to our hearts this morning, even as you did your servant David. Jesus, even as you wandered in the wilderness and the angels came and ministered unto you, minister unto your people this morning, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Well, I didn't mean for him to pray my sermon, but he's right on target too. I feel the Holy Ghost in this here this morning. Come on, church, let's lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, let's thank him. Would you do that right now? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a great hand praise together, shall we? Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Now, I realize that in the Word of God, and it's preached many times, the Word of God bears it out, that there is a time when a person has got to stand and fight for what is right. The Word of the Lord from Genesis to Revelation talks about heroes who became martyrs, who made up their mind even to the spilling of my own blood. I'm going to fight for this territory that belongs to I am the Lord. And so they gave their blood, and they went down in the Word of God as great heroes of the faith of the Lord. But when reading the Word of the Lord and some things that I've been feeling lately in my own spirit. Give me a little monitor, please. Some things that I've been feeling in the Holy Ghost. There comes a time when you got to hear from God in a way that you know that, hey, God's in this. There comes a time when you're not supposed to be a martyr. There comes a time when God doesn't want you to spill your blood. Matter of fact, there is a scripture that Jesus talked about in His teaching and letting His disciples know there's going to come a day of persecution. And I have read that and I have never fully understood it until the Lord gave me this message. He said when you're persecuted in a certain city, He said flee from that city. Go to another city and continue preaching the gospel. Hey, there's a principle in that. There were times when because of the gospel that they preached, they died as a martyr for the Lord. But there were other times when the Lord said, not now and not here. You're not going to make a stand right now. I want you to get together what you can, and I want you to run for your very life and take this gospel with you. Hey, I feel in this place here today that somebody's been fighting, and you've been fighting seemingly all by yourself. I'm bringing to you a word of the Lord. There comes a time when you need to run. But listen to me. It's not just the principle of running, but it's what you're running away from, and it's what you're running to, is what God wants you to consider here today. There comes a time when you're going to stand and fight. But there comes another time when God says to you, enough fight. I'm going to bring you into my rest. You know what I feel? I feel that a number of in this church, and even some of the spirit of this whole church, and some of you that are here under the sound of my voice right now, your strength is wearing out. And there's a reason why. You've just bowed up and made up your mind, I'm going to slug it out with the devil. But I'm here to inform you of something. You don't carry a knockout punch here in your right fist. Come on now, church, stay with me. Some of you are afraid of where I'm going to go because of where it's going to lead you. But I'm here to tell you there is a time to fight, but there is a time to run. And let me give you the scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. Now, the name of the Lord is strong whether you're in the tower or whether you're out. But there comes a time when you're about to be overwhelmed and the devil is wearing you down and your strength is almost gone. If you stand there and fight, you're going to die. But there comes a time that you got to say, hey, this is bigger than me. I'm not going to knock it out toe to toe. I'm running to Jesus. Hey, I'm going to take this to the Lord. Devil, hey, you're not the winner in the long run, but I can't handle this right now. This is too much for me. I'm running to Jesus. And I feel today that somebody needs to run into the presence of the living God. It's not that you're a coward. It's not that you're chicken. But there comes some time that you seem like you're defeated, but you're just backing up to get some strength to go back into the battle again. Because when you're running, he it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not taking a stand. And I'm going to prove that in the word of the Lord. I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. If you'll turn there, I believe there's something that could really give us some enlightenment on what I'm preaching here today. I want you to hear the words of the apostle as he's writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I'd like to begin reading in the 6th verse. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money..." I want you to take note of that, please. He said, "For the love of money." Now, there's nothing wrong with money, because down in the 18th verse, he said, "The word to the rich is that you stay humble and that you disperse it to the poor and to the work of God." Somebody's got to help carry the bills. But that's not the problem. It's when you love money more than you love God. Hallelujah. He said, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God..." I want you to notice this. He said, "But thou, O man of God..." He didn't call him a coward. He called him a man of God. "Flee these things." Say, folks, there's just some things you run from. There's just some things about life that you just got to make up your mind. This is bigger than I am. I'm not going to stand here and be some dead hero. I'm going to live on longer for the fight of the Lord. He told that man of God, Timothy, there's some things you got to run from. Listen to me, folks. The Bible says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." But there's some things that you run from. Hey, you don't stand there and say, "Devil, I'm going to prove something to you." Because he'll be like water dropping on a rock. He'll stay there just as long as you want to stay there. But he said, "Flee from these things." What? "And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith." Hey, there's some things locked in here together in the Holy Ghost. He said, first of all, I want you to hear, there's some things you got to run from. But there's some things you got to run to. It isn't just running. I see people that are in confusion in our hour that are just running here and there, to and fro, and they don't even know what they're doing with themselves. Matter of fact, some of you, the way you live for God is always on the run. Man, if I run, the devil can't catch me. But it's not what you're only running from. It's what you're running to. When you make up your mind, "Devil, you're bigger than I am, but I know somebody bigger than you are." Hallelujah. No, sir. It ain't time to fight right now. I'm going to flee. And the devil can laugh all he wants to, but I'm running to Jesus. And I will be back. There will be a fight. He said, "Oh, man of God, flee from these things." But then he said, "Fight the good fight of faith." There's a time that you need to fight, and there's a time you need to flee. You know what? I feel that a number of us have got the attitude that if we just don't fight all the time, then we're not pleasing God. And you know what? I've watched that wear your spirit down. I've watched that wear on you until finally it's got to the place that coming to the house of God is almost a chore. And just the thought of coming in on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. Some of you got to where you can only come to one service a week because it just seems like a chore to you. I've got your message. I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost right now. When you understand that this place is a strong tower, that this is a place you can come to, that you don't have to fight, that it's not a knockdown drag out. You're in your Father's house. Hallelujah. You come to a place the bully can't come. And when you realize the house of God is that kind of a protection, and it's not a fight here, it's a worship, it's a praise, it's a glory, it's a hallelujah, it's thank you, Jesus. When you come in this tabernacle, I'm telling you, you got a right to put on the garments of praise. Out of worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm here to tell the devil this isn't a boxing match in the house of God. This tabernacle right here within these four walls is not a ring that we put on gloves. Maybe you think it is, but I'm going to tell you, when you come into God's house, He said, come through His gates. Not with boxing gloves. Not with blood on your nose. Not with a fight in your eye. But He said, come through His gates. With what? And what? And praise. Does that sound like a wrestling match? That's in the prayer room. That's at your altar at home. Hallelujah. I want you to know, when you come to God's house, though you may be running in here, that doesn't mean you're some kind of a coward. Amen. I've learned, if I can get where there's some power, if I can get where the glory of God is. There was a bully in our neighborhood. And I mean, he was a bully. A guy, honest to goodness, I believe that guy had a demon. I really do. Matter of fact, he ended up taking his life eventually. He committed suicide. And that guy, he was such a bully. He was such a bully. He was so big, and he was a lot older than I was. And he had the most demonic laugh. I remember one day I was standing there in my own yard, and that demon, he lived right next door, and he tormented the life out of me. He chased me home from school. I remember one day I dropped my books in the mud, and I went home crying to Mama, and she said, why don't you fight him? I said, he'll stomp the life out of me. I wanted to say, are you crazy, Mama? You ain't raised no fool. Hey, I wasn't a fool. I'm telling you, that guy was a bully. And you know, I just knew, hey, folks, you just know your limit. Some of you are laughing and smiling, but if you knew him, you'd run too. And I heard him that day from his yard say, you know what? I just feel like whipping up on you today. Well, I knew not to run to Mama because she kicked me back out of the house. So I took off running down between the yards. By God, I'll never forget it. I run for my dear life, and he jumped on his bicycle. And I looked up and I said, my God, he's on his bicycle. I said, Lord, I've had it now. And I run between the houses and tried to hide from him. And finally, I knew another guy was as mean as he was. I'm telling you, both of them seemed to me were demon-possessed. And I ran up to Charlie. I said, Charlie, John is coming right now. He said, well, just stand here, man. He said, don't be afraid of that guy. He said, man, I'll whip him for you. And there were, I saw John when John saw Charlie. There was just something about those two. They knew they had met each other's match. And I just stood there right between them. I felt so good about that. Hallelujah. Hey, man, let me tell you, you're no match for the devil. You're no match for the devil. Hey, man, I'm telling you, some of you, if you don't listen to me today, the sacrifice of your righteous life is about to go down the drain. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, it'd be a sad thing to live for God all these years and let the devil wear you down. I'll tell you what, I stood there at that fence long enough and saw John wasn't going to touch Charlie. And saw and listened to everything Charlie had to tell me. And finally, John turned me loose and got on his bike and rode away. Man, I escaped with the skin of my teeth. I was so grateful to Charlie. I wasn't going to tell him that, but I was so grateful. And he told me, son, let me tell you something about that bully. He said, if you'll take him on and put him in his place. I said, but Charlie's so big. I said, I'm afraid he's going to hurt me. He said, well, maybe he will. And so I stayed there with Charlie until finally it got in me, you know. Maybe I... And you know what? You're not going to believe this, but I ended up breaking John's leg one night. God, my daddy tried. He almost killed me sure enough then. I thought, my God, what's my parents want? They're mad at me when I run, and they're mad at me when I take him down. Man, one night, late in the night, John started that junk again. But I remember what Charlie had said, and I got some strength up about me. And John told me, he said, I'm going to take you apart. And you know what he was going to do? It right in my own front yard. You know what? I just decided that night I'd had enough. And I threw a flying, I don't even know what I call it. Locked my legs with his and I heard it snap. Pow! Man, he went down screaming. My God, you broke my leg! And then he screamed and rolled. And I thought, God, I feel sorry for him. But, oh God, I feel so good about this. I ran in there to Daddy trying to look sad. I said, Daddy, Daddy, oh, Daddy, my God, I broke John's leg. He said, you idiot, what have you done? I said, Daddy, my God, I broke his leg. Call an ambulance. Oh, Daddy, it's horrible. And I said, oh, Daddy, it's great, it's great, it's great, it's great. You know what? I feel some of you, it's time for you to understand. There is a time to run and to flee to the presence of the living God. I'm going to tell you something. I feel some of you trying to carry the whole world on your shoulders. My God, when you come in here, I can almost see you bent over. I can just pick out Ecuador, right? Exactly somewhere there on your back. You're carrying a whole world on your shoulders. You come in with this long look of, I'm a martyr for Jesus Christ. And the Lord saying, that's not my will. I didn't intend for you to carry the world. Give it up and give it to me. Come on in here and worship me. I'll give you some power. And when it comes time, I'll help you meet the devil here. Amen. I'm talking to everybody on this platform, in this pulpit, in the pew, every last one of us. There comes a time to run to Jesus. You may be seated. Folks, let me tell you something. I want you to understand what I was reading to you. I was reading to you from the Word of the Lord about a mighty, mighty powerful person. This person had come to a place in their life. This man knew how to kill Philistines. I'm telling you, they said of him, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. When a Philistine saw David, they ran for their very life. But David came to a place in his life. Well, he said, even this mighty king and warrior, oh God, I'm beat down. My soul is cast to the dust of the earth. My strength is gone out of me. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness. Notice what he said. He made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Man, this is a guy wearing a crown that could just about drown you in water. There was so much gold and jewels on it. This man had a scepter that all he had to do was wave it, and trade and commerce would stop at his voice. That even the lives of men and women was in his hand. But he had come to the place, he met something bigger than himself. He said, I'm dying. I'm good as gone. He said, I'll tell you what. This king is going to do. This king is going to run. I'm running. That's right. Come on, all you. Laugh at me if you want to, he said. But I'm running. But I'll tell you, I know where I'm running to. I'm a fleeing to God. Oh, my Lord. If you will listen to what I am saying today, I'm telling you, you're going to think different about your work for God. You're going to think different about the house of the Lord. You're going to think different about anybody that you may feel bad about. I'm telling you, you're going to feel different about every situation that's going on around you. It's going to make a difference when you realize it's not always a knockdown drag out. It's not always a heavyweight slugging it out. There comes a time when you say, God, here it is. I'll give it to you. It's bigger than I am. Brother Coates began to pray about David. Let's look at the life of David. Let's see what happened to him. Let's see how he learned. How many of you ever remember reading the scripture, heard it preached about? David said, I will look unto the hills. Anybody ever heard that? What? Whence cometh? My strength. How in the world did this guy look at a bunch of hills that was nothing more than what we got here on Mount Bonnell? Something along that line, and say, when I look up there and see the trees and the rocks, I get strength. No, no, there was something went on in those hills. There were some things that happened in those hills that when he was down, he would reach back in his memory. Not when he was on the mountaintop spiritually. Because when he was on the physical hills, he was living in the spiritual valleys of his life. But something happened on the side of those crackly hills. First of all, he found himself being chased by King Saul. King Saul was more powerful than David. David was a warrior, and he had some men that would fight, but they were outnumbered. David knew how to stay out of the way of King Saul. Every step Saul would make, reach out his hand, he'd say to his lieutenants, "I'm about to kill him." He'd bring his hand down and look under it. He's like a fly. I can't nail him down. We got him over here cornered in this cave. We'll bring him down. Gonna destroy him. But David always was able to slip around and stay out of the way. Hey, nobody called him a coward. That man knew how to kill the enemy. But David knew one day this cat and mouse game is going to end. One day, this anointing that is on my life is going to bring fruit. They may not know it, but I'm already anointed king. It's already settled in God's heaven. This man may be saying he's king, but it's only for a while. One day I'm going to be on that throne. Oh, anybody listen to me? I can almost hear the devil talking about some of you. Got them boxed in. I'm going to kill her now. And brings down that hand and looks under there and says, "I can't believe it. There she is. She's off there dancing again at Austin Tabernacle. When in the world is that woman going to go down and be destroyed?" Because there's an anointing on your life. You're not a coward when you come to the house of God and bring your burdens and lay them at the feet of the Lord. Come on, some of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with you. I'll tell you what you like, though. You like that warrior in the Old Testament that killed so many and fought so long that when finally the fight was over and they didn't even need to fight anymore, they had to pry that sword out of his hand. Say, "Man, let go of that. Turn that sword loose. And we're not going to fight right now. Don't fight right now." It's the Holy Ghost today. And I'm telling some of you, come on now. Turn that loose. Turn that loose. It's over. That's not what you're supposed to be doing right now. But you know what? We get so used to a tearing, screaming, ripping fight until it bleeds over into everything about us. We fight with the kids. We fight with the husband. Man, sometimes you just want to look at somebody and say, "Hey, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Just wait. Y'all think I'm kidding, don't you? I walked in here this morning, and I ain't going to say who. I walked in here, I said, that one, if I just say the wrong thing, buddy. Ready. Come on, preacher. And you know what I did? I just smiled. Hallelujah. Oh, ain't God good? Isn't God so good? He's so good. And they gave it a look. What's it good about? There comes a time when you gotta lay that down. Because if you don't, it'll eat you alive. You find yourself fighting with everything. Anything moves, you're ready to kick it. Just come on, come on, come on, Aunt. Just move, Aunt. Just move, I'll stomp the life out of you. You think I'm kidding, don't you? There's many a dog knew you was having trouble with your life. Get out of my way, dog! Get out of my way. And the cats just go, wow, up the trees, man. Clear the house. Man, you've had a great day. You come home whistling. And your sister runs to the door screaming, "Get out. Mama is on the rampage." I said, "What's going on? What's going on?" "Don't even ask. Run." And man, I don't even come home for hours because I'm staying out of Mama's way. You know what I want? I want peace in the valley. I want you to be able to walk in here instead of everybody being like a porcupine. When you come in, people say, "I've come to the house of the Lord to praise Him." Oh, David said, "Your spirit is good. Your spirit is good." He knew how to mix it together. "I'm dying, God. I'm going under. I'm like a dry land. I gotta have some water. Please help me, Lord. Remember me." Oh, and he knew how to say it. "I'm looking under the hills, which cometh my strength." "What's your strength from, David?" "I remember when I was outnumbered. I couldn't fight then. I had to run for my very life. I wanted to pour my sword out. Matter of fact, I had 2 times alone, I could have killed Saul." Do you know that? Twice he could have killed Saul. Twice he had him in his hand. Matter of fact, he was so close one night, he cut off part of his robe and told Saul from the hillside, "Could have killed you today. Tonight had been your last night." But he said, "I'm not in a fighting mood. I'm a running mood. And you know what happened? Anybody know what happened? Saul said to David, "You coward." No, he didn't. He didn't say it, did he? You know what he said? "You are a mightier man than I. You're better than I am. You could have fought, but you didn't want to fight." Whew. You know what? I hesitate doing this. God have mercy. But if Paul, the apostle, could talk about running a race, I guess I can talk about that fight. Muhammad Ali. Guess I can. You know what he did? "Yeah, sister, I need it." I'll tell you, I prayed about this one. Y'all think I'm kidding. I said, "My God, help me when I say that name, Muhammad Ali." Cassius Clay. I don't like that. A Muslim. You know what he did? He got in a ring and he got to getting pushed around. Matter of fact, the guy was bigger than him and looked like was going to work him over. That's the fight they call the rope-a-dope fight. Anybody ever heard that before? You ever heard that term? Y'all ever heard that term before? How many of y'all heard that term? Yeah, rope-a-dope. You know what it came from? It came from the time that Muhammad Ali got knocked all over the ring against the ropes. Man, that guy had more rope burns on him than a cow being chased by a cowboy for branding. But you know what he was doing? He was biding his time and letting his enemy slug it out, wasting himself. He was building up some strength and some energy. If you will listen to me today and you will take on a new attitude about how to handle the devil, and not always into it, and not always scrapping, and not always having to have a hair-raising thing going on, and always a crisis in your life. My God, wouldn't it be good to wake up one day and just say, "I'm on the run"? "Oh, devil, all you're going to see is me running today." Devil says, "What? Come on, let's slug it out. Let's get off to a bad start today. Let's burn the toast. Let's mess up the eggs. Let's scream at the husband. Let's scream at the wife. Let's have a bad time on the job." "No, devil, not today. Not today. I'm a running. Where are you running? Running away from you. You coward, come back here. Because I'm going to somebody. I'm headed to His presence. Hallelujah. I'm going where He is. And when I get there, I'm going to lean on Jesus. I'm going to lean on Jesus. Come on, I don't care what the world says. I've learned to run. I said, I've learned to run. There comes a time when you say, it's bigger than me. Come on, Austin Tabernacle. I think we're about to go up another notch. I think we're about to hit another dimension. I believe we're getting a revelation today. There's some things you don't fight about. Come on, old man of God, run. What if I'm a man of God? I ought to stand. No, because you are a man of God, run. You may be seated. Woo, we're going to have some track stars after this. Man, you're going to do a blazing 440. All the devil's going to see is your spiked track shoes. Said, I can't catch them now. I can't catch them now. That crazy preacher, why don't he make up his mind? Either fight or run. Why don't he? That's right. Because the devil will never figure you out. There's something about whipping him. The next time he comes back with more power, ready to whip you, and you just back off. Say, whoop, whoop. No, 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 no. What? Come on. No, 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 no. I choose. Me. I choose. If I want to fight, I fight. If it's something to stand for, I stand for it. If I got to knock it down, I'll knock it down. But today, I don't feel like that. Bye-bye. Huh? You see, today, I'm not over some of your level. I'm not over your heads today. I'm below. I'm lower, you know, down where the kids are. How's that kids talk? That's what Jesus said. If you're going to enter my kingdom, you're going to be like a child. So you know what I did today? I have a whopper of a trial. Big old gigantic thing, man. Jolly green giant. So you know what I did? I said, you know what? I'm going to have me a good time in church today. Boy, I'm going to have a good time. Man, it's going to be fun, 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 fun. I'm going to walk in that church, and if I see a sour face, I'm going to smile. And if I feel an old bad spirit, an old devil, I'm just going to smile. Because I'm going to walk in there praising God. Woo! You know what? You know what a lot of our problems are? We take everything personal. We take it personal. And when somebody says something or something goes on, we take it personal. We're ready to fight. Let me tell you something. Don't take anything personal. They got a problem, not you. You don't fight it. You just say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know what? You know what I think about you, God? You really want to know what? I think your spirit is good. You have a good spirit. God, you've got a good spirit. Let me tell you a little bit more about David. David won that one. He didn't even have to take care of Saul. God did. God wiped him out. Clean the slate. David didn't have to lift his sword. Didn't even have to fight. God did it. There came another time. Something worse than Saul. It was his own son. Sitting on the throne, honey. King of all. And somebody says, your boy has got a big army headed this way. And you know what? You're going to die. Because your boy's got murder in his eye. Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't that be terrible to know your own boy is going to kill you? And Absalom walked into that city ready to destroy. But while he was coming in the front door, David was running out the back. You know what everybody was thinking? I know exactly what they were thinking in the city. Somebody says on the walls that here comes the mighty one through the front door, and there goes the coward out the back door. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay here. I ain't staying with a coward. But David had already learned, give it to God. It'll work its way out. Matter of fact, he was so strong about it, he told him, don't even touch my boy. Leave him in God's hands. And Joab couldn't even do that. You know why? Joab was a fighter. He was a killer. He was a murderer. Joab didn't know how to make peace. He had Abner killed. He had Absalom killed. All he ever knew how to do was pick up a sword and run it through somebody. But you know how it ended? David, in his moment of death, told Solomon, remember Joab. Remember him. He's got it coming to him. Because you live by the sword and you'll die by the sword. David said, leave this one alone. There's sometimes you run, and I'm running. Because if I'll run, I'm not going to have to make this stand and this choice that's going to bring hurt and pain. I'd rather run and give it to Jesus. Come on. Oh, the Holy Ghost is definitely in this place. Oh, you hear me. If I have ever heard from God, I've heard from God this time. Huh? I have heard from God this time. Sometimes it's better to smile and walk away than to draw your sword and say, is that how you feel about it? All right, take this. Cut their head off. So that's how you think about it, huh? Huh? Take that. But let me tell you something. When you live that way, it starts gnawing at your spirit. And then you become paranoid. Paranoid. Everybody's after you. Oh, look out. Brother Stegall, don't you move. I'll blow you away with my Uzi. Lock the windows. Honey, did you lock your front door? Bring the dog in. Did you bring the dog in? You didn't. I told you to. Oh, okay. Give it a bath and bring it in next time. That's something personal between us. She disobeyed me. I told her to bring that dog in. She didn't do it the other night. Watch it. I ain't got any more friends. Everybody gets me. Whoa. Whoa. Ain't nobody likes me anymore. Don't you get near me? I'll cut you. You know, that really happened here not too long ago. Prophet of God, or a guy was being used in the Spirit, calling people out. He was in a country church. An old country farmer was sitting in the back. He was in his bibs, coveralls, if you please. He was sitting there, and he had come out to hear this guy call people out. This really happened because it happened to a friend of mine. And here comes this guy walking down there picking out people, saying, and naming their spirits, and naming their problems. And everybody heard it because the church was full, man. There was probably about 350 people in that. Church, and he got near the back toward this guy, and you could hear that country farmer crowd. He said, don't you get near me. He said, don't you get near me. He said, I'll cut you. I'll cut you. And the guy said, hey, I said, don't you get near me. He said, I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you. He said, don't you come near me. You know what? That's the way some of you are living now. You really are. And you're paranoid. And things are always bad. And everybody's out to get you. And there's a devil behind every bush and tree. You know what, though? When you're running, you ain't got time to check the scenery out. You don't look behind the tree. Just whoo. If he was there, I didn't look. You don't look behind the garbage cans. You don't check around the corner. All the devil knows about you is whoo. Man, that's the fastest thing I have ever seen. There comes a time to knock him down. There comes a time to stand for what's right. And there comes a time to shrug it off and just walk on by and just smile. You know what? If you'll be like that about people, and about the devil, you know what? Coming to church will be fun again. It'll be so much fun. Matter of fact, living will be fun again. Hey, yeah, it will. I promise you it will. Matter of fact, when I got this message from God and it got a hold of me, you know what I did? I said, I'm going to start living it right now. And I've been praying this week. And all the way, I've been praying it this morning. I said, you know what? I'm going to start living like that. And it worked. It worked for me this morning. It really did. That person would have got under my skin any other time. But didn't do it this time. And here I am. Man, you ain't heard me preach like this in a long time. I'm acting plumb crazy. You know why? Living for God is really a joy. It's a peace. It's happiness. And I'm afraid some of you feel, and I'm going to tell you now in the Holy Ghost, you feel if I ever let down my guard, I've been walked on before. But nobody is ever going to walk on me again. Nobody. I've been hurt before, but nobody is ever going to hurt me again. You want to know something? I'll tell you something else from the Holy Ghost. You know why some of you don't really get involved here in the church? You know why? Let me tell you why. You know why you don't partake in things here in the church? It's not because you're so holy. You know why? It's because you're afraid of loving and not being loved back. You're afraid of giving and not receiving. But there comes a time in life where you change your ways. Instead of your hand on the sword ready, you just walk in open, free. Oh, I'm not stupid. I'm not gullible stupid. I used to be. But she worked on me and got that out of me. No, not her. I mean, she helped me. She told me one day, you know what? You are so gullible. Gulp. Yep. She said, you believe anything and everything. I said, yep. I believed you when you told me you loved me. Yep. She said, you are gullible. You are gullible. And you know what? I learned to temper those things in the right way. I still take people at face value. I still love without being loved. And I still get involved without receiving. And I've learned sometimes it isn't always fighting all the time. There comes a time of peace. Peace to your soul. The preacher pastored a church. Some people got to talking about him. This man, the story that was told me, had preached for over 20 years. Pastored two very successful churches, very large churches, and had done a tremendous work.
and now built another Home Missions Work. Some saints got to talking about him. He got to hearing the rumors through the grapevine. It crushed him. It killed him. So, he ran. He resigned and took off running. But the problem was he didn't run in the right direction. He quit preaching. He's backslid today. A great preacher of the gospel. He lost out. Because he didn't have a right attitude about things. There was a saint of God, a precious sister, that hung on for 15 long years. She hung on to God for her husband, for her family. 15 long years. Finally, he came in. He got the Holy Ghost. The children started coming in one by one. Somebody in the church said something to her that offended her. She ran. Left her husband and children sitting there on that pew. Left them living for God because they didn't give up. But she didn't come back. She's still backslid today, away from God. You see, she fought. And fought so long and won the victory for her own family. And then came the time when she should have run. That she had fought for so long that she kept right on fighting and fought her way right out of the church. Samolokaye. There's peace in the valley.
There's peace
in the valley. Oh, I feel God's peace.
For me,
would you lay down the sword this morning and just lift up your hands and tell Him you love Him?
For me.
No saloho kataye ni kasa ya bakata.
There'll be no sadness.
Hear me today, my people. You cannot be like me unless you are willing to be hurt. You cannot love unless you be wounded. See me on the cross. See the spear in my side. See the thorns on my brow. See the bruises upon my face. See my beard plucked out. See the scars upon my back. See the blood as it drips to the foot of the cross. I did not have to take that, for I could have called 12 legions of angels to remove the hurt and the pain, but I took it because I loved. And I knew that when I would love, it would hurt. And so you must willingly and knowingly subject yourself to the hurt of the people you love in order to be like me.
Spirit of the Lord that is in this place right now. Praise God. A number of you hold back. And I'm afraid the number is not going to be too good of a turnout here this morning for this. Because some of you will fight for the rest of your life. And you're never going to love again because you don't want to give. But I'm telling you, God is here right now. God is calling. God is calling right now. Anybody want to love again? Anybody want to be like Jesus? I feel like God's going to use some of you. Don't be like stone this morning. I'm opening this up because God wants to use you. My God. My God. Don't let your sacrifice. Don't let the fight of good faith go down the drain. Amen. Anybody want to be like Jesus? I open this altar right now. Anybody want to be like the Lord? Anybody want to be like Jesus?